You can fight reality all you want. You can close down against reality all you want. You can condemn reality, which is, I would say, what cynicism actually is, all that you want. But at the end of the day, you can also use all of that to push you into a deeper experience. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee. My name is Rick Alexander, and today I want to talk to you about the philosophy of a broken heart, like what we can learn from it, not just romantic heartbreak, but just all of the ways in which life just doesn't always work out. You know, when we come up short, when we strive for something and it doesn't work out, when we have the conception of a certain future and then that future doesn't materialize, because in life, things just don't work. Sometimes our heart breaks really quickly, right? We get dumped, somebody dies, we get a diagnosis, something falls apart. And then there are other times where our heart breaks really, really slowly. I experienced this with the death of a business, just watching this thing slowly but surely dissipate into nothingness as I was left sort of grasping at what was and trying to figure out why. So I want to talk about why all that stuff happens and then what we can learn from that and how we should embrace it. Before I get into that, something I did want to clarify from Monday's episode. I was re-listening back. I was sort of trying to make a case for why how you are doing something matters more than what you are doing. And I think the implications of that episode, if you're not really paying attention, could be that what you're doing doesn't matter. And anybody that spent any amount of time doing something that they hate knows that what you are doing matters immensely. So I didn't want to come across as if that wasn't the case, because what you're doing, it really, really does matter. But whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's a job, whether it's a hobby, whether it's a professional setting, like, doesn't really matter. Whatever it is, it's too finite, it's too small to hold the identity of all that you really are. Okay, and so when you're in confusion, when you are working a job that you don't like, when you are working in situations that you don't want, when you're in relationships that aren't serving you, the way that you show up becomes your North Star to help walk you out of those situations and into something that serves you more, right? So hear me on this. I don't believe that you should, forget about how it is that you're spending your time. Like, the things that you're doing definitely do matter. But also just know that there's a give and a take relationship. There's a dance between how you're doing and what you're doing, and they both matter, let's say, equally. You know what a good example of this is? When people become very altruistic in their life, and then they're an asshole. And so they feel as though, like, oh, well, I do so much for X, Y, or Z charity, and then that gives you permission to be an asshole, right? And it doesn't. So you can see that in life, the character of the character really matters in the story that we live. And so that was all that I really wanted to make a case for, because in Western culture, it does become so easy to want to put your identity in your accolades or your achievements. And so simply, I just wanted to draw attention to the fact that those things are great, but how you're doing what you're doing matters just as much, right? How you make the people feel that are around you. And if you really think about legacy, your legacy is the feeling that you leave on people for you having had been here, right? And so regardless of what you do, how you show up and the way that you do it, that's the kind of thing that really, really impacts legacy. And then above that, like, when you get in these moments of confusion, when you get in these moments of heartbreak, like we talked about today, how you show up, it can be your North Arrow to start walking you into a better situation. Danielle and I are doing this book club right now called 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. We're sort of like breaking down this book and creating some content around it. And we've got like 40 something people in this book club, which is amazing. But, the very first rule is sit up straight with your shoulders back. And so right away in this book, he's like really breaking down this idea that you can do this. It starts to change your own neurochemistry. And that's the way that you are showing up. It has nothing to do with what you're doing or what you're being validated for or anything else. And right now in this pandemic culture where races have been taken away and all the things that we use to validate ourselves have been taken, focusing on how you show up might just breathe life back into you a little bit. It might just inspire you a little bit. And in that little bit of inspiration, you might start finding more things that are worth walking toward in this life. At least that's what I found in my own experience. Because, you know, one of the things we'll talk about in heartbreak today is that there was a point in my life where I sort of watched this business slowly erode over time. And so by the time it had finally, I realized, like, okay, not only is this business probably, you know, not going anywhere, but actually I don't want to put the energy into it anymore. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm just wrecked. I started making these rules for my own life. This was before I had even heard of Jordan Peterson. But all of the rules were really about how I carried myself. And it was like reminding myself constantly that how I did one thing was how I did everything. And the thing that I realized, it really did start to transform my life from the inside out and gave me something to do when I had nothing to do. And that's why I think it was super important. So I just wanted to provide that little bit of clarity. And now we're 5 minutes into this episode. So let's talk about heartbreak. What originally made me want to do this episode was an insight that I had had last year. And I'm honestly not even sure who I heard say it. I think it was a poet. But it was something like, living an honest life will break your heart 1,000 times over. And I took that to mean something like living a life which you hold nothing back leaves you vulnerable. And inevitably, when vulnerability meets an impermanent world, you open yourself up to the sorts of things that do break your heart. That includes loss, as in just simply losing what and who we love. You know, sometimes we lose people and things to eternity, right? Sometimes they pass. Sometimes we lose them to a divergence in path. And sometimes we lose them because we see that our time just has come to an end. I once heard someone tell me, you know, people come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And as I think about that quote, I think perhaps a lot of our pain is caused by either not knowing the difference between those, or maybe trying to make people or situations into things that they are not, which is what leads me into this idea of heartbreak, right? So if you guys remember, I did an episode a while back on the significance of why we make a wish on a shooting star. And if you could boil that entire episode down, what it came down to was that in all of creation, in all of the universe, multiverse, if that's what you believe in, based on the things that we know of in our world, we're the only thing that evolved through this explosion and coalescing of atoms and primordial energies. We're the thing that evolved to have a value system. And so we give meaning to things. So things in this world mean stuff to us specifically. And the proximity of stuff that happens, the proximity of the stuff that happens to our heart determines whether or not it breaks our heart when it goes away. I talked about that's why we can watch a star die, which has been around for billions of years, longer than anything we've ever known. When we don't feel sad, we actually feel hopeful about it. Right? And the reason we feel hopeful is because when a star dies, it scatters into the edges of the universe and it makes new life possible. And that same thing is playing itself out in our lives in every single level that you could think about. It's happening on individual levels. It happens relationally, right? When relationships end, as awful as it is, we see that life has to collapse in on itself to create room for the new emerging beauty, right? Now, I understand that when you are the one, remember, like, proximity to heart really matters. So when you lose a relationship that's very close to you, you are apt to want to hold on longer, right? But you have to ask yourself if the thing that is happening, regardless of the pain, right? Because the pain is, like I said at the beginning, it's just a byproduct of an honest life. Living an honest life will break your heart 1,000 times over, because in all the universe and all the cosmos, you're the thing with feelings, right? But that also means that you understand what matters. And so yes, we mourn for the things that we lose, but we have this interplay within us. We're very complex creatures, and so we're not just emotions, right? We're also intelligence, we're also wisdom, we're also reason. We're also physical, so we're moving through time and space. And so, you know, what happens is when something dies, when something breaks our heart, something dies that's close to our heart and it breaks it, you're given an opportunity to live this life at a little bit of a deeper level. Now, this is difficult. So we'll start with romantic heartbreak and talk about how when things end, right? Think about the normal response of people, right? I can think about my own response through basically all of my 20s. When relationships end, right? I close off, I want to get drunk, and I hate the opposite sex, right? Now the opposite sex becomes something that I just want to use. Now, what's interesting is when your heart breaks, it's open, right? And when you are open, you can receive, you can live at a deeper level. And so when your heart breaks, the universe is actually inviting you into a deeper experience. You can feel something at a deeper level. Now, what's interesting about this is our feeling states, like the depth to which we can feel, it doesn't discriminate between positive and negative emotions. And so what I mean by that is, to the degree that you can suffer is to the degree that you could love, or you could say it, to the degree that you can love is to the degree that you can suffer, right? And that you're willing to suffer, that you have suffered, that you have loved, that you're willing to love, right? And so you could think about your life as a straight line, and there's a positive polarity on top and a negative polarity on top. And just think about a wave, like almost like a, you would see in a cardiogram, right? Like a heart rate. Think about, you have like a positive experience, you have peak experiences, ecstatic experiences that go up way north of happiness. And then we have heartbreak, which brings us way down south of the line, right? And nothing hurts like heartbreak. And I mentioned in my latest book, like there's nothing that would make heartbreak worth it, except for, of course, that feeling of falling in love, right? Love is the language of God. And so as you begin to fall in love, you begin to see things at a deeper level. You begin to feel freedom, right? Because like I said, like you can't have, love and freedom are synonymous, right? Like true unconditional acceptance, that is freedom in its deepest form. And so the reason I'm saying this to you is because I want you to acknowledge that all of this is true. That way, no matter how much it hurts, you can hold space for the fact that you are creating new room within your heart, within the center of who you are, to feel at a deeper level. Now, what that means is, if you can get through this experience and it doesn't crumble you, it doesn't kill you, it doesn't break you, you've now opened up the possibility and emergence of new love. And so I'll tell you, before I got with Danielle, I had my heart really, really broken. And it wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't like you broke my heart. It was more of, this situation worked for a really long time and it was really incredible, and now we're at a space where it doesn't, and I have to acknowledge that. Though I will say, the human part of me did not want to, right? I clinged, I like held on to it. It really, really hurt. And I let myself really feel it, really suffer. And to the point where I had already done, like I'd already spent my 20s doing, pushing all the escape buttons, right? So it's like, normally when you break up, it's like I was saying, you drink, you know, you do all the things. I had already pushed all of those buttons too many times. So I like knew how much I'm suffering right now. There's gonna be no reprieve from this thing. So I've just gotta feel it. And something within me like felt that I could feel as my heart was opening. It was literally breaking open, but I felt like this is a level of suffering that I don't think I've ever experienced before. It's just a level of depth and of feeling that like I'm open to the world in a raw and vulnerable way that I've just never felt before. It feels like something big is happening, like a shift is happening in my life. And so I refuse to close. I refuse to let this turn me into something that I wasn't, right? Like, because I was in love with this person for a very specific reason. I believe in love. I believe that it can create a container for growth, for development, just a refuge from the like radical difficulty of the world. I believe in all of that. And so I had to fight the urge to close. I'd already known, I kind of used the escape buttons for so long, but I felt my heart breaking open. And what I didn't realize at the time, though I know I kind of understand it better now, is that as your heart breaks, you have the depth to experience something more. Because as I said, to the degree that you can suffer is to the degree that you can love. And as I sat in that pain for months, now, it opened up the opportunity, like it made me the person that can love the person I'm with now to the degree that she really, truly deserves to love. And it does break my heart a little bit to know that people that came before her got the the much more closed version of me, right? Like I had to be broken open in the most brutal way. But that's the Western mind, right? That is, and this is why I said in we tend to, in our culture, we tend to overlook romantic relationships, right? We don't give it a lot of, I mean, everybody wants it, right? It's like at the heart of all of our social interactions, like the entire beverage and bar industry exists basically so that that can be a thing that happens. Yet when it happens, when it happens and ends, I'm sorry, there's this moment where it's like, okay, well now, like you've got to get over it. Like I once heard there was a rule. It was like you get 2 weeks of mourning for every 6 months that you were in a relationship. And I remember when this last one ended and I hit that like mourning rule, I was like, oh God, I'm still sad. Like I'm not kind of sad. Like I'm still like heartbroken, cry at night, be a weirdo sad. But I had to let myself feel it. And the reason I'm saying that is because I would implore you, if you're going through any kind of heartbreak right now, the disillusionment of any kind of system, any kind of job. A lot of people have lost jobs right now, right? Just sit in the suffering a little bit. Not for any reason other than because the thing that you'll get on the other side of that is worth it, right? Like remember the bar graph, remember peak experiences and suffering. They're the same depth and the level of your soul can't discriminate which is which. It just knows how to feel itself in the world. And so if you lost your job, sit in that tension. Like sit in that really uncomfortable space. Understand that the thing that broke your heart opened you up so that you could experience the world in a new and better way. You know, and that's true. And whatever it is that comes next is the recipient. The people that come after you, the job that gets you after this, like all of the things that you went through, you could think about all the heartbreak, all of the pain that it's caused. There's only one thing that could make that actually worth it, right? Like I said, that's falling in love again. That is learning to live and love again in life. And so what happens is if you allow that tension, you allow that thing to break you open, and then you approach this new thing open, then all of the pain that you went through, all of the confusion that you suffered through, it wasn't in vain, right? It was all leading to something. And I think if we live our lives as if they were always leading to something bigger and better, like if the opportunity of transcendence is always possible, then it's always possible. But that's a decision that you make. It's not a decision that, you know, it's like, you know, I think a lot of times, I know when I was specifically cynical, I would really cling to like, well, that's not reality, right? Like, look around, people are suffering, yada, yada. And it's like, well, understand that it is your acceptance of any kind of esoteric principle that makes it true, right? I can't say for you, it's like, constant, you know, you could live in a way, let's say, for example, like I'm saying now, that constant transcendence is always possible, even amidst the inevitable heartbreak that's going to happen in your life, right? Like I believe that that's true. Now, me telling you that doesn't make that true for you. You believing that's true, you learning how to transcend but include makes that true for you. The way that you are, back to Monday's episode, the disposition that you take toward the things that don't work out, it really matters. And you know, all cultures have their own different version of this. I think it's like the Hindu one is the coolest because they believe that the universe exists for like 400 billion years and then sort of collapses back in on itself. And I'm going to screw this up because I haven't read this in a little while, the Upanishads in a bit, but there's this idea that there's a God who is sort of the god of chaos and destruction and dancing as it all collapses in on itself, as the chaos of the world ends. And the reason that chaos energy is inherently feminine is because it is chaos that gives birth to all new things. And so as that god turns around on his face is the creator of all things, right? So it's like the destroyer of worlds comes in every, what I think it's like 400 billion years or something. And then as he turns around, the creator of worlds is there, because this is why the Taoists break down feminine energy as chaotic, because it is chaos, let's say, that gives birth to all things, including our universe. And that's what I kind of tried to make in the idea of the star, of the Big Bang. It's like, think about what the Big Bang is. It's this coalescing of primordial chaos and subatomic particles, just absolute chaos that eventually through striving and through strife and through heartbreak gives birth to us. And then we realize that we have a transcendent nature and that there's something about love that's actually eternal. And so then we start to figure this out, and you can see how the human story is this one long drama of using heartbreak to transcend ourselves and become better, to become a better version of who we are. And like I said, that's true at the cosmic level, and it's also true at the individual level. So I would just implore you to, you know, it's not that heartbreak gets better. It's not that it's good. It's not that we like it. It's that it's necessary. It's that the collapsing of things in on themselves, they make room for new beauty in this world, right? And if you allow that room, the emergence of something new, of something good, it's always there. You know, sometimes we have to sit in the discomfort for a long time. But oftentimes when people don't get to transcendence, like, I mean, transcendence as far as like a positive evolution in their lives, when they don't continue to make their lives better, you know, often that's the case of, that's because they met heartbreak with the wrong attitude. They forgot that the destroyer of worlds is also the creator of worlds, you know? Or maybe they didn't forget, but they never remembered or never knew. You know, maybe you go into heartbreak, you lose your job, and you close off and you take the cynical route, because that's always available to you, right? Because it does seem like bullshit in life when things don't work out. And so the cynical route is there, and it is very enticing. You know, but it's not the one that leads to the emergence of the highest good. That's the one that we as humans, the people with the value structure, we've got to work for. And unfortunately, that means we've got to work through the emotions that get us there. You know, and that's the problem, is when you, if you approach heartbreak and you let it close, and you decide to escape, or you decide to suppress your emotions, or you decide to just, like, I mean, all of the ways you decide to repress your emotions, however you decide not to feel things, you got to understand that the only way up is through. The only way through, you know, that's the deal. So this is why the whole idea behind the philosophy of broken heart is that you would see that heartbreak, it's, you know, it's a necessary evil in our world of time and space. But not only that, it's the acceptance of it that allows you to get past it, that allows you to transcend, that allows you to move on to bigger and better realities, you know? And that's always true, but you've got to learn to sit in the discomfort. So I was gonna go into a whole spiel about emotions there, but I think I'll leave it at that and just say, you know, heartbreak, because you're the one feeling when things with a close proximity to your heart break down and don't work, there's this awful gut-wrenching feeling. And this is where the true kind of battle between good and evil within the human psyche is actually taking place. You know, we have to accept things. We have to be open to what else could be, you know, and that often helps when you're in heartbreak. It's like, well, this is true. You know, all the things you've said so far are true. This is bullshit, and it shouldn't have ended. And you know, it is an injustice, and you know, whatever it is, your situation is, all of the complaints you have are true. It's not that they're not true. It's just that they're not the only thing that is happening in the world. What else is true? Ask yourself that. It is often the road that will get you out. And the last thing I'm going to say about this is, because sometimes heartbreak, when it happens, the pain is what grips us. You know, I just remember months of just like hurting and just feeling so lower than self. You know, everything is just, pain is the best way to describe it. Understand that pain plus time equals a decrease in pain. But the intensity of pain, right, the intensity of the experience of pain, it has a direct correlation to your awareness, right? So your pain, it's got its hands grabbed around your consciousness. The way you could think about this is when you stub your toe, right? It's like when you first stub your toe, you're like, I stub my toe all the time because I'm klutzy. You stub your toe, it doesn't matter what the hell else is going on in the room. None of them matter. All of your awareness, all of your consciousness, all of your world gets directed right toward the little toe that you jammed on the coffee table. It's not that other things aren't going around in the room, aren't happening in the room, or aren't true. It's that you don't care about them because the intensity of the pain has cranked up your experience and dialed in your awareness. So over time, if you can just, you can sit in that pain, if you can learn to do that, then what happens is you begin to ask yourself, you begin to look around the room, you begin to remember there's other things going on in this world. There's other things going on in the room. What else is true? And you can start to ask yourself, okay, what else is true about this situation? Well, maybe, perhaps, now you're free to do some things that you never were free before. Or perhaps there were some things about this that weren't really serving you, right? Like, I mean, there's a million things that are also true. And so as time goes on, you give yourself permission to experience and engage with those things as well. And before you know it, you begin to find the new path. You begin to find your way out. And at the end of the day, I think that's why I made this episode, because your way out matters. Like, you don't deserve to stay in heartbreak. You're not destined to stay in heartbreak. You're not, no matter what it was, business falling apart, losing your job, you know, loved ones dying, all of it. Like, you know, they all bring their own level of pain, and it sucks when things end and paths diverge and things change. But there is an appreciation for the impermanence of all things that you can allow to push you into a deeper experience. Right? And that is what I found. It's, you can fight reality all you want. You can close down against reality all you want. You can condemn reality, which is, I would say, what cynicism actually is, all that you want. But at the end of the day, you can also use all of that to push you into a deeper experience. And maybe just have a little faith that it's all going somewhere worth actually being. I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing Wednesday. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee. I'm not afraid of the dark.